as we've seen over the past couple of years, a loud chunk of the enthusiasm for generative AI seems to come from people who aren't creatively talented and are resentful towards people who are, and see AI as a way to finally level the playing field and put those artists in their place, because artists, writers, musicians, they've had it too damn easy for too damn long. Mm. They proudly celebrate the imminent downfall of human artistry while using generative AI tools that are trained on human-created art and could not function without it. It's strange. And if the big initial push for these AI products was that they could be a new tool in the artist's arsenal, there might have been a bit less hostility towards it. But no, the message was, it's time to replace the artists with machines. R.I.P. artists.
Yeah, it's a weird angle to come at from, because AI, as we've talked about before, in certain ways, has existed in all of these products. And it is very helpful over the years in ways that most of the people who use the products don't even notice.
Yeah.
It's just stuff that is in the background. But to sell it to the stock market and to all these other companies and to inflate the value and to get VC capital in, it's got to be a lot flashier than all that.
Finally, we get to take down those greedy artists asking for meager amounts of money for their work.
Yeah.
Fuck those people.
But while this attitude towards artists has been one of the main focuses of the AI debate, one that's received less focus is a similar resentment towards real human women, from men who can best be described as incels. They are torn between their insatiable horniness and their hatred of women. And AI solves this. No more paying those sluts to look at their OnlyFans. Now AI can provide all the fat material you need. Just don't look too closely at the hands. But why should you be looking at the hands anyway?
Pay no attention to the hands.
You don't hear about hand fetishes online.
No.
But that's why the AI has focused primarily on the feet.
I've never heard of an AI adding an extra toe.
Yes, the hands look wacky, but have you ever seen the feet on these AI?
Oh, baby.
Not only are they beautiful, they look delicious.
Such gams.
And so no more fruitless swiping on those dating apps just to be rejected by the few matches that you get once you start talking. Now you can just get an AI girlfriend who lives in your phone and never complains about how she needs a man with long-term ambitions and a bed that isn't just a mattress on the floor. So, RIP, women, I guess.
Yeah, it's over for these hoes. But now the next step in incel AI is finally here. Check this shit out.
No. 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 No.
So yeah, that was a video promoting a product called Orifice. And that device shown briefly at the end would be the Orifice. Mm. And as the name implies, well, listen, I don't need to spell it out. This episode is not sponsored. You get it. It's a box with a hole and some soft, squishy material inside. Mm-hmm. And in case you're still somehow confused, here's another post from Brian, the guy behind Orifice, which we can't even play the sound for, but it is a realistic human female voice moaning in pleasure and telling Brian by name how much she's enjoying herself and just how good he is at what he's doing.
Wow, 15 seconds this time. Wow, you're really starting to improve.
That's a new record, Brian.
Yeah, you get a little high score number on there. And
shut up.
Yeah, we've gamified the AI sex bot. So now you can earn coins the more times you pump.
So yeah, I mean, look, it was always leading to this point, but it looks like we're almost there. And in case you think we're being a bit harsh calling this an incel product, here's another recent post from Brian.
The relationship between women and men is broken. The data shows that. Everyone knows it. The top 20% in the gene pool don't care. Their not caring is genetic warfare. All social action taken against Orifice, all protest, be it in the form of tweet or article or legislation, will be gene warfare. Why, me and Elliot are committing gene warfare right now by even making fun of this product.
I have declared gene warfare.
Everything comes down to reproduction, and we're going to take non-reproductive sex with human women off the table as a commodity. It's gone. Can't trade money for it. Can't trade a meal for it. You could spend hours contemplating the consequences of that. Good, bad. It's going to end crime. It's going to wipe out job functions. But why? because sex is about reproduction and everything breaks when you break that. Our roles don't make sense. Our institutions don't make sense. Nothing makes sense. When men stop seeking non-reproductive sex from human women, it's going to lead to an increase in reproductive sex, and it's going to save the world. The only man who could be brave enough to ruin this product and who needs to test it as soon as humanly possible is one, Marcus Brownlee. He has the power to dismantle all of these multi-million dollar tech companies.
He does.
With just a few tweets and a fancy edited video.
Come on, MKBHD, test out the dick box.
Are you brave enough to say something bad about the orifice? And therefore, destroy the world in the process.
So yeah, that statement, that is some grade A incel shit right there.
It's right from their playbook, all those terms and phrases.
Yeah, he's not just building a computer that you can bang, he is saving civilization by eliminating the source of all of its problems, which would be any sex with women that doesn't create a baby. Mm. It's very interesting how these guys are like, I just wish some woman would fuck me, but also any woman who fucks not for reproduction is a total slut. And also, this idea that sex that isn't to make a baby is always some just like exchange of goods and services. It's a commodity and not something people just do because, I don't know, they like each other. It's a very jaded view of the world.
Yeah.
But with more on the orifice, here's 404 Media, who actually spoke to Brian about it. In the fuckable appliance category, a new entry emerges. A guy named Brian claims to have developed an AI-powered fuck sleeve that talks back and responds to inputs, like fingers or a penis, depending on how deeply you penetrate it. He calls it Orifice, a silicone adult toy for men with a computer vision system, text-to-speech, speech-to-text, an LLM, large language model, and generative moaning, according to the project website. Existing toys for men are dead, limp, flaccid, gay, Brian told me in a Twitter message. They don't do anything. They don't react. If they move, they don't move because you move. Bullshit. Nobody has had the balls to make a sex toy for men that isn't a total piece of shit. Until now. On Monday, Brian defended the name Orifice as being gender and species neutral.
Sure.
That could be a butt.
I mean, you could download a guy, right? Or is it only women?
Yeah, you can download a guy and you could take like 20 seconds of that guy's speaking voice and load it into the thing. And now he's moaning and telling you how much he loves you.
Yeah.
And it's every boy's dream.
They should do like a pass lock on it where you have to perform cunnilingus on this thing for like a good 10, 15 minutes before you can have sex with it.
No. That's that's the world he's trying to get away from.
Yeah, that is something that this guy sounds like he would consider gay.
Yeah, no. You haven't earned that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the article continues, quote, penetration depth over time is derived via computer vision. There are two cameras in the device and an LED matrix. The silicone sleeve is clear. The chamber is clear. They are optically clear, Brian told me in a Twitter message. The image of the penis is translated into a depth measurement.
I love this because,
I'm going to trust my dick scan with this guy's fucking fuck sleeve.
Well, that, and it's like, okay, so deeper is better. So, like, dudes with small dicks are going to be dick-shamed by
our
fucking AIs. Like, Brian, can't you go any deeper? Is that it?
Is that it?
That's all there is?
Yeah, you have to unlock you have to get past the is it in yet to unlock the full experience. But a lot, you know, some guys out there are not going to be able to do it, and they're going to be very angry at Brian. Oh, I thought this was the first sex toy for all real men.
Brian, how do I adjust where the back walls are?
Yeah.
This isn't right.
So this in turn is translated into language via the sex gesture recognition system. That output goes to an LLM as if it were spoken action. The LLM's response is turned into audio. You can also speak to it, and your audio will go through a transcription process, hit the LLM, and the rest is the same. Designing a sex robot that doesn't creep people out is hard. What a sentence. Designing one that can talk back and respond as if it's actually feeling what you're doing is harder. It's probably why a lot of people interested in role-playing with a robot that can mimic human emotion opt to skip the corporeal form entirely and create uncensored chatbots or relationships with apps. Brian seems to think he'll mass-produce the Orifice, something I won't hold my breath for, but weirder things have hit the sex toy market.
Cool. Very exciting.
Yeah.
So, best of luck to Brian, but we have our doubts about...
He needs to create a shallow version for the short guys out there.
Come on, Brian.
Come on, Brian.
Yeah, I don't think this thing's going to be saving the human race. The only way it will be saving the human race is by finally taking some dudes out of the dating pool and the gene pool who probably shouldn't be there in the first place. So, hey, maybe indirectly he is doing the world a favor.
Yeah. I'm fighting the gene warfare on the side of the genes.
Yeah. But in other AI news, one of the big roadblocks to mass adoption of AI tools is that they are currently still pretty damn limited in their capabilities and reliability. And the most honest pitch you can make is that they might be capable and reliable at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. Currently, most AI products are still free or very cheap to use, so it's easier to look past these limitations. But when you're charging $700 for an AI product that also requires a $24 a month subscription, it better be pretty damn useful, because if it isn't, people are going to say that it sucks. Which brings us to Marcus Brownlee's review of the Humane AI Pin, which the world's most popular tech YouTuber called the worst product I've ever reviewed.
Yeah, the joke earlier, it was a call forward, not even a call back. So there you go. Mm-hmm. So the Humane AI Pin is basically a wearable that you clip to your shirt, and it has a camera, microphone, speaker, and projector, and acts as an LLM-powered digital assistant, sort of like a communicator badge from Star Trek. But like with a lot of tech that's directly inspired by something from science fiction, the pitch is a lot cooler than the final product. Marcus Brownlee's full review is worth a watch for seeing exactly why he hated it so much, but it comes down to the product just not being all that useful or reliable. And this seems to be the consensus among all the reviews that we've seen. But the response to Brownlee's review in particular has really underlined something interesting about the AI tech space that we've noticed for a while. The people making these products want to be judged not by how good their products are right now, but rather by how good their products definitely will be someday soon. So good, in fact, that it's going to save the world. And if you get in our way by saying it's not good, even though it clearly isn't in its current state, you are therefore dooming the world.
Yeah.
You are
great
killing
job.
Everyone.
Great job, Marcus. You killed the world.
You have blood on your hands. I hope you're happy.
So here's Humane AI's Sam Scheffer. Easy to dogpile, much harder to build. Yes, the software is not where it needs to be. Full stop. And that's entirely on us. The overwhelming negative sentiment? What happened to optimism? What happened to pushing things forward? And that post was in reaction to another Humane employee named Colin tweeting, "Wild how many people want to see you fail. We'll make it all that much better when we win."
Yeah, good luck, buddy.
And here's some tech founder named Daniel Vassallo with a screenshot of Brownlee's review and the caption, "I find it distasteful, almost unethical, to say this when you have 18 million subscribers. Hard to explain why, but with great reach comes great responsibility. Potentially killing someone else's nascent project reeks of carelessness. First, do no harm."
Okay, so invoking the Hippocratic Oath in reference to negative reviews for a product is fucking wild. But it makes sense if you're like Mark Andreessen and think any pushback or criticism of AI is essentially murder, because AI is obviously going to save the world. And therefore, anyone standing in the way is destroying the world.
Yeah.
The Humane AI Pin sucks, but someday it won't suck. So you need to be nice.
Come on.
Yeah. The sense of entitlement it's really interesting because we're seeing it a lot with AI, but we also saw it a lot with blockchain stuff like crypto and NFTs. Those things are objectively less useful than existing things that work just fine, but just you wait. That's going to change any day now. And if we had to trace this attitude back to the source, it would probably lead us to Elon Musk, who for years was hailed as the savior of humanity because of promises he made about how he was going to colonize Mars and all the other things. He hasn't done it yet. But someday he will, so he obviously deserves our respect.
Yeah, I mean, luckily I see this less and less, but it's still the main thing. When you criticize Elon Musk and someone doesn't like that, they come back at you with like, "Elon is colonizing the stars for us. He's
he's
ending traffic. He's it's like, no, he hasn't done that shit.
He's up at 3 a.m. shitposting."
Yeah, and like when Elon's downfall started, which I would say that point was with the Thai boys in the cave.
Yes.
You saw it a lot then where it's just like, yeah, look, he's a fucking, in this specific instance, he was a fucking dumbass.
But he was,
just
a total his heart jackass, was in the right place or
but
whatever, yeah.
He's saving the world, yeah. So I'll look past it.
You don't understand. When we have to rescue so many more boys out of caves, you're going to want the first death yeah. of this product to be the one that kills them.
The next time a group of boys gets stuck in a deep cave in Thailand,
you won't be laughing then.
Yeah.
I do want to say, when they specifically to come back to where all the optimism is gone, have you seen the tech space? In the past, I don't want to say 10 years. There has been cool stuff.
Yeah.
But like specifically the past 5 to 10 years where it feels like we hit a wall and they're trying to solve problems that aren't really problems.
Yeah. No, it's you compare it, obviously, like the iPhone is like the sort of the crowning moment
yeah.
in tech. And before that, the iPod. And it's a product that like anyone who had it in their hand for like a few minutes was like, oh, fuck, this is.
I get it. Yeah.
I get it. This is going to like fucking change the way I do shit.
Yeah.
This makes my life easier. And with the humane pin, like even the fucking, I think the CEO or like one of the top guys, he did this long Twitter post because he's got the check mark so he can write as long as he wants.
Yeah, I'm not reading that good
and,
for you.
And yeah, I ain't reading that shit, but like, it was this long screed about like, yes, it's a piece of shit. Everyone's complaints
are
correct.
Then why are you selling it?
But listen, it's going to get better. And also, like he went on this big part about how like I wear it every day and it's become part of my routine. And like, you just have to like put in the effort to make it part of your routine. And it's like, okay, there's your fucking problem though.
Yeah.
That's not what a good product is not something you have to actively add to your life.
Also, you're the CEO of the company. Like, of course you're going to figure out a way to make it useful
yeah.
for you. You have to. That's your entire job.
Yeah. It's very interesting. But yeah, we have reached a point where...
I mean, and to Elon Musk's credit, I will say he is somewhat, maybe significantly responsible for the surge in electric car adoption.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So the fact that other major car makers are doing electric cars... That was a big innovation. It was great.
The one thing I will give him credit for is he definitely saw where the wind was blowing with that much earlier than anyone else
yeah.
did. So
we'll give him credit.
Get a little bit of credit for that, Elon.
You know, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that brings us to the Elon section of the show. And as
I hope
usual,
he enjoyed that split second of us being nice to him.
Mm-hmm. As usual, there's a bunch of fucking bullshit to dig through this week. But let's start with a bit more of what we talked about a bunch last week, the Cybertruck and how much it sucks.
Mm.
So the various online forums for Cybertruck owners have provided us with just some great material in that regard. And they continue to bear fruit because here's some more. A post on CybertruckOwners.com titled, "What Are Teenagers' Problems with Cybertruck?"
I want to believe that this is in some way, if we had any kind of influence on the viewpoints of people, like this would make me so happy,
yeah.
But it is just so great to see someone earnestly post like, why are people making fun of me? I thought this was cool.
There you go. What are teenagers' problems with Cybertruck? I don't know if others have similar experience, but as I drive around in Cybertruck, most reactions are good/fun, but I've had several teenagers flip me off, yell, "I hate your truck." And just today, a girl rolled down her window and just yelled, "Fuck you." Perhaps it's the storyline that they're dangerous or bad for the environment. Something on TikTok saying they're evil.
I just want to call bullshit on the fact that his responses are good and all that, because that it reads exactly like the people who apologize before saying something bad about it on Twitter. Now, I want to get it out. Most people think it's really cool. That didn't happen. But
yeah.
A girl rolled down a window and said, "Fuck you."
Well, it's like that other guy. It was like a tweet from a few weeks back where the guy was like, actually, like,
anytime
I'm driving this around, like, everyone's taking pictures of it. And it's like, okay, but how many people are taking that picture and be like, look at this fucking bullshit?
All these British people are doing the peace sign at me. They're saying peace and love, brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah, love this. Put it directly into my
face. I love these forums. Forums, I'm glad we still have forums.
Coming back. And we're going to have another forum because Twitter is slowly turning into something awful.
Yeah. Literally.
For anyone who's young, that was an old forum they had to pay to post on.
Yes.
So anyways, down in the replies is even more gold. So here you go. They're probably just jealous. These are grown adults talking. It's a girl, a teenager yelling at him. Well, Have you maybe thought that she's just jealous?
These teens are jealous of my cool car.
Yeah, they're jealous of your Cybertruck, you fucking moron. Oh my God. they're stupid, the teenagers. Their parents probably hate Elon. Cybertruck equal Elon. And that's another important point.
I mean, yeah,
because
he's not wrong
anything
about that.
Tesla is tied directly to Elon, and that's why their stock is dropping as he gets crazier and crazier. Quote, they are teenagers. What do you expect when your diet consists of vaping and Tide Pods? Tide Pods?
Yeah, we're bringing that back.
That was pre-pandemic?
I mean, even if teenagers were eating Tide Pods, those teenagers are now 30 years old.
Yeah. These
teenage millennials.
These teenagers these days with their Baccarat and their lawn darts, you know, they don't like the Cybertruck because it's new.
Yeah. Yeah. Always blasting their rock and roll music.
Yeah. Oh, geez. There's several pages of this, what I like to call cope.
Yeah. These are cope forums.
Yeah. In other Cybertruck news, though, the sheer number of ways that this piece of shit can break down continues to grow, with the latest being a dude on TikTok explaining how his car basically got bricked after taking it to a car wash. Now, it did eventually come back to life after a system reboot that took over 5 hours to complete.
So what's
the problem? I don't know.
Sounds like it worked itself out.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're just being a hater.
The discussion around these clips eventually led to the page in the Cybertruck manual, where it turns out, conveniently, there is a car wash mode that you have to activate. And if you don't, the car might get damaged. And none of that damage is covered by the warranty. It also cautions against washing the Cybertruck in direct sunlight.
What are you doing washing your car in direct sunlight?
On a nice summer
How
day?
How dare you?
What's the crime?
What do you mean you took your Cybertruck to the car wash? Are you insane? Did you activate car wash mode? You didn't? No!
You're supposed to wash this in the cold of night. Where you can't see what you're doing and where it won't immediately rust.
I just love a truck that is just completely hydrophobic.
Yeah.
There was that clip like a month or so ago of a guy just like splat driving through like just an inch of water.
Yeah.
Tops. And the thing just shorts out because it gets a little bit of moisture in the undercarriage.
I love just...
Does anything a truck can, minus a whole bunch of things.
A video of it just going down a relatively calm dirt road. Wow. Wow. Off-roading capabilities.
It's over for trucks. RIP trucks. So yeah, very cool. Tesla shareholders, they must be so happy that instead of updating any of Tesla's other vehicles after half a decade, Elon directed all of Tesla's design resources towards the world's ugliest and most delicate pickup truck. That if you look at it from the wrong angle, just falls apart into pieces.
Yeah, don't breathe on it because it creates condensation and that will rust.
You void your warranty by breathing on this thing.
Yeah.
And now, despite Tesla stock being down 37% since the beginning of the year and sitting at nearly the exact same price it was exactly a year ago, Tesla shareholders are being asked to please, give Elon back the $56 billion compensation package that those ghouls over the Delaware Court of Chancery very villainously stole from him a few months back. Please.
Wow.
Here's The Verge.
In a proxy statement filed today, Tesla's board recommends that shareholders simply re-ratify the 2018 pay package in order to address concerns raised by the court ruling, rather than negotiate a new proposal with Musk that could end up costing Tesla even more money. Quote, because the Delaware court second-guessed your decision, Elon has not been paid for any of his work for Tesla for the past 6 years that has helped to generate significant growth and stockholder value, Robin Denholm, the chair of Tesla's board of directors, wrote in the proxy statement. That strikes us and the many stockholders from whom we already have heard as fundamentally unfair and inconsistent with the will of the stockholders who voted for it.
Yes, side note, it was a stockholder lawsuit that took away the pay package in the first place. So.
And I would like to go through all of those very angry emails that are begging for them to pay Elon Musk $56 billion and just see what they sound like and if Grok wrote them or not.
Yeah. It's funny you should ask. I would love to give you, hey, funny human. God, I fucking hate Grok. We got Grok news to cover later, though. If you are a Tesla shareholder who was enjoying that massive bull run that lasted several years, have just been sitting on just a complete dud for the last year. Now's your chance to reward the man who caused that complete stall in growth.
Don't you feel bad? He hasn't been paid. I think he's doing fine.
I think he's probably fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, with those Tesla updates out of the way, it's time for X, the everything app. Actually, wait, before we get to that, Elon posts a lot of cringe online, but his IRL cringe, that's really where it's at. And Elon posted some succulent IRL cringe over the weekend on the red carpet for some black tie event.
Elon, throw the arms in the air again.
Watch
throw
your camera
in the air.
Elon, fight the fighting pose.
Elon, to your left. To your left.
Elon, fighting pose.
Elon, right in front
of him. Elon. To your left. To your left.
Wow. What a cool guy. He's doing every Fortnite pose, but none of the ones you have to pay for.
Yeah, all the basic stuff that you get right out of the, from the free download. He's got it all, baby.
It's amazing
that he was
able. The camera loves him.
To make it to this red carpet when he was just minutes earlier ripping the cords out of Grimes' DJ set at Coachella.
Oh my God. So I saw like,
there was double BPMs and stuff.
So there was like a couple short clips on Twitter, but I found on Reddit like a full compilation. It's like 6 minutes long of just like Grimes Coachella set just being a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
And it's all the BPMs on her tracks got screwed up, which yeah, is annoying. If you've ever tried DJing, that is a big problem. However, if you've been DJing for like fucking 15, 20 years, really not that big of a problem, especially if it's your own fucking song.
Yeah, you beat match with your ears.
Yeah. Just all these DJs being like, why was this such a problem? Like you.
Well, the problem is
when you're in the middle,
I don't know, but she might have used a program to analyze the BPMs and just didn't check.
My theory is that she had some AI tool do it for her because all of her visuals are AI generated. She's all about that shit.
So make me a set. There we go.
Very funny.
The only defenders I saw were like, well, you know, she does produce and sing and do all that. And it's like, okay, great.
Great.
But she was paid to perform.
Right. Oh, probably a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's Coachella.
Yeah.
Anyway. But
I maintain that Elon was ripping wires out backstage back at her for being a very disrespectful.
He was doing that and also laying off 10% of Tesla.
Yeah,
so
we talked about that.
Yeah, he had a lot going on. Mm-hmm. But here's the news on the latest innovations that Elon is bringing to his social media platform. For starters, he warned us a while back, but it sounds like he's finally going to do it. Anyone who signs up for a new account is going to have to hand over some money. Seems like a total deal breaker for most people who have plenty of other options for wasting time on their phones that don't cost any money. But as Elon explains,
unfortunately, a small fee for new user right access is the only way to curb the relentless onslaught of bots. Current AI and troll farms can pass "Are you a bot?" with ease.
Okay, so it does seem odd that none of the other platforms have nearly as severe a bot problem as Twitter does, while still offering access for free, but okay. Also, this was your exact plan. Sir, this was your exact plan with the paid verification badge system. This is word for word.
Yeah.
You said that this would solve the bot problem by charging for verification.
These bots are in for a real surprise. Does nothing.
Also, a lot of the bots have verification badges.
Yeah.
So I don't think putting a monetary barrier in front of them is going to stop. It'll make you a little bit of money, I guess. So that's something.
The bots, most of them don't have the verified badge, but there are definitely, I've noticed a trend of like OnlyFans models just appearing in the replies of like anything.
Yeah.
And I assume that it's a human writing it, but just like making any post, just being like, it's some of them are pretty clever. Just like relating whatever the topic is to like, come check out my OnlyFans.
Okay. There's a couple points, but what's going to happen is companies are just, they're going to pay the entrance fee and then they're going to automate everything.
Yeah, I assume that it's probably worth their while.
Also, I would guarantee that right now, before you have to pay, they're just scrambling for millions of usernames and just signing up. But also, the bots have evolved. Good news, everyone. The bots have evolved.
Yeah, now
it's just straight up porn in your replies.
Yeah, it's no check my bio for porn.
It's there.
Here's some pornography.
Yes.
Check it out. So, this news, unfortunately, has even some of Elon's biggest, most loyal dick riders a bit skeptical. Mm-hmm. The account Whole Mars Catalog, who we assumed was just Elon on an alt.
One of his many alts.
Could still be true, but I don't know. They kind of took offense to Elon's proposal here. They wrote, "Part of what makes X special is that anyone can just post without paying. We definitely need to stop the bots, but what about having the option to pay or do something extremely computationally expensive, like mining some Dogecoin or something? Fuck off. Stupid. To which Elon replied, "That is way harder than paying a tiny fee. This is only for new users. They will be able to do write actions for free after 3 months."
Great idea, sir. Masterful gambit. Again, really big brain stuff. How could anyone ever be as smart as you? Anyways, another news about paying for Twitter. The $8 a month blue checkmark was the thing that was, like we just said, originally what it was going to save the bot problem. But instead, it just clogged up the feeds with more bullshit and became a sort of scarlet letter. This person pays for Twitter, so what a fucking moron. What a piece of shit.
Let's laugh and point.
The amount of ridicule directed at paid checkmark accounts, especially early on, was so bad that they added an option to hide the blue checkmark that you paid for. But those days are over. No more hiding that checkmark. You either embrace the shame or you stop paying. Or if you're one of the celebrity or influencer accounts that Elon recently non-consensually gifted a free checkmark to, well, I don't know what your options are. You can't hide it.
Delete your account, I guess.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
But hey, at least the checkmark comes with some exclusive perks that you can't get anywhere else. Mm. For example, there's plenty of AI chatbots out there that are free to use. But the only way to use Grok is by getting verified on X. Mm-hmm. And Grok isn't just a chatbot. No, no. As we discussed last week, Grok has also been entrusted with reporting the news, which it sources entirely via tweets. What could go wrong? This has resulted in fake news based on people tweeting out blatant disinformation, and also fake news based on Grok not understanding when people are joking online. And here's the latest example of that.
Klay Thompson accused in bizarre brick vandalism spree. In a bizarre turn of events, NBA star Klay Thompson has been accused of vandalizing multiple houses with bricks in Sacramento. Authorities are investigating the claims after several individuals reported their houses being damaged, with windows shattered by bricks. Klay Thompson has not yet issued a statement regarding the accusations. Yada, yada. And yeah, Klay Thompson did not break a bunch of random people's windows. He just missed a bunch of shots in a game between the Warriors and the Kings. And people on Twitter made jokes about all the bricks he was throwing. And Grok reported these jokes as fact. So not bad for a sensible chuckle. It could have been something written by the Onion or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, the one good thing here is, like, if you want to know if a joke is played out and your sense of humor is not very original, if Grok picks up your joke as a news story, it means that, like, 10,000 other people had the same joke and you need to refine your craft.
This is why, once again, it's going to run into a lot of trouble when you talk about filming and you say shooting. You got to be very careful.
Yeah.
Especially depending on which part of the country you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Out here, it's like, oh yeah, shooting something as they're filming something. There's some serious shit's going to go down when someone's filming a simple TikTok video somewhere.
Yeah. So many actors have been shot.
Thank goodness they don't do that flash mob stuff anymore.
Martin Scorsese has shot just dozens of people.
If they still did the flash mobs, there'd be like massive shooting with a bunch of naked people in the NYC subway.
Wow.
Ugh.
But that's not all that Grok can do, folks. Soon, apparently, paid Twitter users will be able to use Grok to write their tweets for them.
Well, thank good. Thank godness, or thank goodness for that. All the uncreative people can finally...
Yeah, so it's not entirely clear to me why anyone would want that, aside from just cluttering up the timeline with even more bullshit. But Elon seems convinced that this is a great idea that people are going to want and need to use. Because, gosh, it's so hard writing these tweets myself. Oh, my fingers. My Twitter fingers. They're so sore.
It's just going to be so disingenuous to say you got a banger tweet or this one's doing numbers.
I mean, any viral tweet you look at, there are just pages and pages of responses that are clearly written by a chatbot that is, you know, sees the OP tweet. And then just provides like Wikipedia or something.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of it is like, here's some more info about what they're talking
about.
It's
so
like,
much fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's Mashable. According to a new report from Kylie Robeson of Fortune, Musk wants Grok to be available right in the tweet box for X premium users so that Grok can just write tweets for those users. Fortune's source claims that Musk wants people to sound smarter and believes Grok will make that happen. there's quite a few big issues with having Grok write users' posts. In fact, ex-employees realize this, and according to Fortune's source, have worked to stall the rollout of this feature.
There are people in the company actively working against his initiatives because they're bad.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea.
Continues, for one, since Musk has taken over the platform formerly known as Twitter, the spam and bot problem has only become worse. And many of these bots and spammers are clearly powered by AI writing tools and chatbots. If X builds such a feature right into the platform via Grok, then one can only imagine this problem will be exacerbated. Another potential problem, pointed out by Ed Zitrone of the Better Offline podcast, is that X's Grok AI chatbot is already trained on data from users' tweets. If users generate posts via Grok, and then Grok goes ahead and trains on that Grok-generated content, it will actually make Grok worse. When an AI model is trained on AI-generated content, researchers have found that it leads to defects in the model.
Hell yeah. And yeah, our favorite new term for this is Habsburg AI, referring to the fact that the decline of the Habsburg dynasty was thanks in large part to how deeply inbred their bloodline had gotten, mm-hmm. leading to various physical and mental problems. They even had their own chin named after them. Mm. That signature Habsburg chin. You only get that from having Habsburg DNA on both sides of the family
Careful,
tree.
Careful, this man's a hero.
Jathan Sadowski, who coined the term Habsburg AI, describes it as a system that is so heavily trained on the outputs of other generative AIs that it becomes an inbred mutant, likely with exaggerated, grotesque features. So if Grok, which uses tweets as its training data, is also used to compose tweets, it'll basically be pooping into its own mouth, which isn't healthy. No. So despite how much more annoying this would make the already annoying X experience, I think they should do it.
Yeah, go. Do it now.
Feed Grok his own doo-doo.
You got to get on those workers and tell them, hey, no more slowing down because you think I'm a big, dumb idiot.
Yeah, no. What Elon wants, Elon gets.
Yeah. Daddy want Grok.
Daddy want.
But let's move on now to some news about another social media platform, Truth Social. So here's a brief update on how that's going from Quartz. Shares of Trump Media and Technology Group, the company behind former President Donald Trump's social media platform Truth Social, fell sharply again Tuesday after it announced that it's launching a streaming platform.
Oh, good. Oh!
Truth Social will stream live TV, the company said, including news, religious channels, family-friendly content, as well as other content that has been canceled, is at risk of cancellation, or is being suppressed on other platforms and services. Trump Media said that much like Truth Social itself, the streaming platform will be independent of big tech. Trump Media stock ended Tuesday down by 14%, closing out the trading day at $22.84 per share. That brings the company's market capitalization to $3.12 billion, cutting its market valuation by more than half since its first trading week highs.
Every week, there's just joyous news about Truth Social and how things are going ever since they went live on the NASDAQ.
I'd like to coin a new term. They're going to run into the Schneider dilemma.
Yeah, you're right, because they're like family-friendly content,
religious
content, and also
the stuff that they won't show you anywhere else.
This dude who really wants to talk about race science.
Yeah.
And thinks that you should be allowed to say the N-word without getting in trouble.
Yeah, this stuff is too racist for TV. But we're going to put it on here. And right next to what we're claiming is family-friendly and religious content.
Yeah.
So it is a Schneider dilemma.
It is.
In the same way that he did that GOP benefit thing, and everyone was like, oh, God, this is what he's been saying? They were right to poo-poo this guy.
I thought he was just going to go on stage and be like, making copies.
Hey, you know what Sleepy Joe can't do? Make those copies.
Making copies. You can do it. Oh,
You know, they said Sleepy Joe could fix the economy. You know what Rob Schneider says? He can't do it.
Woo.
Woo. But instead, he said something about a Korean whorehouse.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
like, oh, this is disgusting. Mm. The Schneider dilemma.
And finally today, Boston Dynamics just unveiled a brand new robot, or rather a new generation of robot, retiring the iconic humanoid Atlas robot before immediately debuting a new and improved and scarier Atlas robot. On their YouTube channel, they bid farewell to the original Atlas robot with a compilation of some of its most amazing physical feats and interspersed it with clips of Atlas just catastrophically fucking up and eating shit and getting hydraulic fluid everywhere. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah, as terrifying as these robots are, it's at least been refreshing that Boston Dynamics makes no secret of the fact that every cool video that they post is just the good takes, minus all the many, many, many times that the robot utterly failed. Mm. So anyway, the new Atlas is way sleeker, and this time it's all electric as opposed to the old Atlas's hydraulics. And this gives it full 360-degree range of motion for all of its joints, and therefore makes it significantly more terrifying. Like here, where he gets up off the ground, like the girl from The Exorcist. Mm. You didn't think my legs went this way, did you? Well, they do.
As soon as I see one of these Boston Dynamic robots fucking kick back like that kangaroo fighting video, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. But
one square hit on the jaw and they'll go down, I think.
It is scary, but it's also like, unlike Elon with his Tesla robot that like this time next year, all the cool people are going to have a Tesla butler. Boston Dynamics, like if you had told me 10 years ago that like we were like 2 years away from like these things walking around, like doing jobs and stuff, I would have been like, oh yeah, sounds believable. But it's been a long fucking time and they've come a long way. But like, it's almost reassuring that like they can do these all this impressive shit, but it's still like, not useful enough for any practical. Yeah.
No, you just strap a gun on it and send it on its way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the dogs are for.
Yeah. Here's a wild prediction that probably won't happen, but it would be really funny if it did. Because he's pivoting the entire Tesla company into robo-taxis. If at the next meeting, it's that fucking robot behind the wheel of a Tesla. I told you.
That would be funny.
A robot taxi.
Yeah.
Stock price.
He needs to make it. What? I think they're called Johnny Cabs in the movie Total Recall.
His just head spins around backwards. Where are we headed? My name's Grok. What's your name? I'll be your driver today.
It's not a robo-taxi if the car just drives itself. It needs to
have
a robot in the driver's seat.
Yeah, yeah. Great.
I think that's a great idea.
What a wonderful week of tech.
And that robot driver should be trained by Grok.
Yeah, and it should be at least a little bit racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grok doesn't use his turn signal.
Yeah, no, and it makes comments about women drivers and mm-hmm. stuff. Oh, God. Anyways, that's it for Tech News Day this week. We'll be back with Weekly Weird News. I got family in town, so we're skipping News Dump. You understand. We'll be back with Weekly Weird News. And if you somehow want to watch more stuff, don't worry. We got the first reactions from Trump's big new criminal trial.
Yeah, and more to come from that.
Oh my God. the them going through and reading the social media posts of the prospective jurors.
It's the best juror questionnaire since Martin Shkreli.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have Weekly Weird from last week. Check those out. But make sure you like the video. I almost forgot to say it.
Oh yeah, please. Like the video.
Like
subscribe.
The video. Subscribe.
Leave
it's
a
not,
comment.
It's not sponsored, so click the join button if you're feeling frisky. But make sure you like the video, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.